Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Rick Tyler is not with us quite yet, but it won't be long. Hopefully in the next week or two, we'll be back together. I really miss him being here, and I'm sure that you folks miss him as well. It's really nice to have that back and forth conversation when we have a Bible study. Again, I want to apologize for my voice. I still don't have it back 100%. But at least I can talk, and hopefully we can get through this program together. And one of the things we're going to do again today is we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave last year. It's entitled, Preach the Word. And I hope you enjoy it because it talks a little bit about this ministry here, Prophecies of Hope, and how it got established, and the importance of each of us being a preacher of the good news of God's kingdom, that Jesus can come back sometime soon. And the quicker we get that preaching work done, it appears, the quicker he comes back. So friends, I want to welcome you here once again to prophecyhope.com, to New Visions Radio. I want to ask you that at some point you might want to visit our website, which is prophecyhope.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to send an email to our brother Rick, you can reach him at rick@prophecyhope.com. If you have a Bible question, please feel free to send that in. Last week we answered a Bible question, and I would do it. I had a question come in that we'll answer next week. I just don't have time with the length of the sermon that you're going to listen to. So next week we will be answering a Bible question. And I want to remind you that we're here on New Visions Radio every Sunday night. We're here every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, and I hope you enjoy the program very much when you tune in. I want to thank all of our listeners, too. It seems like we have some loyal listeners, and I really appreciate you tuning in. I also want to thank our brother and friend, Ray Powers, for the job that he does there at New Visions Radio. He does a tremendous job keeping us on the air, keeping New Visions Radio going, and we're really grateful to have him as a friend. And we're really thankful for all that he does for us here. And I know that all of the New Visions Radio family is grateful for Ray and what he's doing for us. Also, I want to tell you that if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area and you would like to join us at the Prophecies of Hope Church, we would love for you to pay a visit. We had quite a few visitors this past weekend, yesterday on the Sabbath. We meet on the Biblical Sabbath, which is Saturday. And we meet every Sabbath morning at 9:30 a.m. for a Sabbath school. And we begin the worship at 11 a.m. every Sabbath. We also have a Bible study every Wednesday night, which begins at 7 p.m. And you're welcome to come. Also, you can go to our website, prophecyhope.com. You'll find an abundance of videos there, a lot of sermons. You'll find the archived radio programs there. You will also find some newsletters that we've put out on the website. And you can also stream live if you're not in the area from anywhere in the world at prophecyhope.com and just click on the link for the Sabbath service. And you can actually watch an interactive Bible study take place live every Sabbath. So I hope that you can join us sometime. I hope that you come to the area and we can meet. It would really be nice to meet some of you friends. And we've met a few here and there. Sometimes people are coming through and they'll stop and visit. But we're grateful for you again as listeners. And before we get started with the actual sermon, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then we'll get right into the sermon. So if you would, bow your heads with me, would you? And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we are certainly grateful for the gift that you've given us in your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we're grateful for your word of truth, for the Bible that you've given us, that this is a way that you can communicate with us. And through this avenue of prayer, Father, we can communicate with you, and we're grateful for every gift you give us. We ask that your Spirit will be with us as we listen to this sermon. May we take something away that maybe we didn't know before. May we think of things the way you want us to know and believe, and not the way any man would teach. But Father, we want to have your Spirit. We want to have your mind in everything that we do. So we pray for your Spirit now as we listen intently. And we say this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, the name of this sermon is Preach the Word. I hope you enjoy it. We'll come back for a few closing remarks after the sermon.
This ministry, Prophecies of Hope, I don't know how many people, I know everybody here knows how it got started, but I was part of a church that I believe had the truth. And the interesting thing is I've always, since I guess my late 20s, I've been a truth seeker. I've wanted to know more and more about God's Word. It kind of hit me in my late 20s. It was when I really wanted to know what God taught. So naturally, the inclination is to go to the church that you're familiar with, the one that I grew up in. And I did that, believing that I had the truth when I went there. And as I studied and I learned, I found that there were many things wrong. I recognized that very quickly in that church. And it took me years to come out. And there were a few years that I didn't go to any church. And then I ended up in another church that I saw had more truth than any corporate church that I had ever seen before. There was one thing that I disagreed with them on, only one. And even though in my mind that was a big issue, there were so many truths, I couldn't deny it. So I wanted to go where I believe biblical truth was being taught. And I was asked to be a member of that church, and I became a member when I was asked. But I let them know up front, you know, I'm at odds with you on this, and that was okay. Well, it was interesting because as I was part of that church, it's a Sabbath-keeping church, as we are. I was used to teach Sabbath school and things of that nature, and what a blessing it was. The Sabbath school was just tremendous. It was just a wonderful experience. And one of the things that I noticed, along with some of my closest friends, and actually Corey was one of these folks that were in that church with me, and so was Rick, so were Rick and Mary. And one of the things that we had talked about was there was no evangelism. They were doing things for people. They were helping people with their houses or with funding or things of that nature. And sometimes it may have appeared from us lay people that some of the funds might have been being used in places where maybe it wasn't necessary. But it wasn't that that bothered us. What bothered us was that there was no evangelism. We had all of these truths, but they were being held back. They weren't being preached. It was almost like the message of the church had changed from the Bible truths that we knew and understood to a message of grace to the point that almost anything goes. In other words, it seemed to be taught that, well, you don't have to change. Jesus loves you where you are. Well, Jesus does love us where we are. He loves everyone, but he wants us to change. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his Father. He wants to see us grow into a relationship and see our characters transformed into the likeness of himself. Well, how can people do that if they're not taught those things? If you just come here and hear a feel-good message, how can you learn what Christ wants us to do? If I just say, well, it's okay. Jesus loves you. He wants you to have nice things. How can that help anyone? It might be uplifting to some, but it's not going to teach me who Christ is. That's how this ministry got started. There were lay people in the church, who several of us are here today, who recognized that, wait, these truths that we know and understand have to be preached. They have to go out. We have to reach outside of this church building and hit the community with these things that we know and understand. And so what happened was there was a grassroots movement within the church of just lay people, just ordinary people. We were nobody. We're still nobody. But we were just church attendees. And we went to the leadership and said, we want to do evangelism. Well, what does that look like? So Rick and I sat down with the pastor and we said, this is what we want to do. We want to do a series of events, and we want to talk about things that we know and understand about what happens when we die, about the Sabbath truth, about all of the prophecies that we see in Daniel and Revelation and how they point to the second coming of Jesus Christ, why this is important, all of these things. That's how this ministry got started. And that was in about 2011 was when we started forming that group. And in 2012, October of 2012, we did our first lay-driven evangelism series. And it was tremendous. What a blessing it was. And every year since then, since 2012, we've done an evangelism series in October. And of course, most people that know Prophecies of Hope recognize that because of that evangelism, because of the truths that we come to know and really understand, that it caused a major division within the church. And it fractured some of us away from it. And that's how this church was started. And it wasn't easy, friends. It wasn't anything that we did. We could see God's hand in this whole thing. And some will ask, well, why do you do this? Why do you do this every year? Why is there a Bible series every year? Why do you talk about these things? Why is it important? What difference does it make? That's a big question. Why are these things important? They're important, friends, because lives are at stake. Not just ours, but the lives of anyone who wants to hear the message. Everyone. Look, God wants every human being to be in His kingdom. That's His desire. But He's not going to force you to be there. So we need more than what this world has to offer. And we want the community to know that what the world has to offer, it's futile. The world doesn't offer eternal life. But our Father and His Son do. So preaching the gospel, this isn't a new idea. Preaching the good news. I want to share a text with you. A lot of times when you think about preaching the gospel, this is a text that comes to mind. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 on the PowerPoint. Jesus said these words. He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So you see, the preaching work has to be done. And if it's not done according to the way that He wants it done, He's going to find a way. If we don't want to do it, He'll find somebody that will. He'll find somebody that will. Now, it's interesting, you know, when we think of preaching the gospel, we always think of the New Testament. At least I do. I always think, well, that's where it really started. But you know, over 600 years before the book of Matthew was written, before Jesus said these words on the earth, notice what the prophet Isaiah wrote. I want you to notice this. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is on me, because Jehovah has anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek." In the Old Testament, it's talking about preaching the gospel. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and complete opening to the bound ones, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Now, this is a prophecy. And we'll see that. We'll see this quoted again in the New Testament as we go on. And if you don't understand yet, you'll see who this is speaking of. I think most of us probably have a good idea of who this is talking about here. But preaching took place even before this. This was 600 years before Jesus came to earth, approximately. But preaching was done before that. The preaching work, it's so important. And keep in mind, friends, it's not just what we say. It's our actions are a huge part of the preaching work. Because if I'm not living according to what I know and believe, it takes the message that I'm saying and just rips it to shreds, and you can just throw it to the wind. Because if I'm not living according to what I believe and know from the Bible, and I'm preaching to you about it, that's hypocrisy. So I want you to notice the preaching that took place. We talked about this a little bit. It came up in Sabbath school, I should say. I want to take you to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3. And we're going to read a little bit of this account. Before I go there, though, you know, Jonah, I don't know what we know about Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah and the whale, that Bible account? We talk about that when we were kids. We may have heard that. And he was supposed to go to the city called Nineveh and preach to this is a very large city at that time, and preach to these people. What was he preaching? Really, he was preaching the gospel. All through the Bible, the gospel is preached from Genesis to Revelation. And I hope we can establish that today, if we've never thought of that before. So here Jonah is. Everything has happened pretty much as far as we remember when we were children, if we've heard this story. And he was on the ship, and the weather got bad, and they ended up throwing him overboard, if you recall that, and this fish swallows him up. Well, let's just pick it up here in this Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to read pretty much through this whole chapter. It says, "And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." That's from the American Standard Version. So Jonah here is being told to preach. Remember, the theme of this sermon is preach the word. Preach the word. So Jonah's being told to preach to these people. Well, let's pick it up here in one moment. Yeah, let's pick it up here in verse 3, and we'll see what Jonah did. It says, "And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah." Now, this, of course, is after his little trial there. It says, "And Nineveh was a very great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, let me ask you, if you went into a city and you started telling people in 40 days the city's going to be destroyed, if you had spoke with any kind of authority or people knew who you were, you would expect them to at least get ready. You know, when they see a hurricane on the satellite and they see it heading toward the East Coast down in Florida, what happens? People prepare for that. Friends, Jonah is trying to prepare people for a storm, so to speak. And that's what we're trying to do when we do evangelism. We're trying to prepare people, not just for a storm, but prepare them for the coming of Christ. Because we have to be changed before he comes. He's going to change us when we come, but he's going to change our bodies from these mortal bodies to immortal bodies. But he is not going to change our character when he comes. This is a common misconception in Christianity. When Jesus comes, he's going to change me. All of these things that I want to do, he's going to take it away from me. No. It doesn't work that way. I have to say it that bluntly. It does not work that way. We have to be changed before he comes. This is why the warnings are given. This is what Jonah is saying. In 40 days, your city is going to be destroyed. Get ready. What do they have to do to get ready? Well, let's continue to read. Verse 5, Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 on the PowerPoint. "And the people of Nineveh believed God. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes." This shows a form of repentance. He didn't say, "Well, I'm going to wait, and when the 40 days comes, I'll be changed." No, he had to change now. He had to change at that time. And he humbled himself, and he laid aside his robe, and he sat in ashes and sackcloth. This is a form of repentance, a form of mourning, a form of fasting, preparing the heart, preparing the mind for what was going to take place. trying to prepare himself to take in the message that God has. I can't stress this enough. The account continues in verse 7. And he cried out and said in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his great ones, saying, do not let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them feed or drink water. But let man and animal be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God, and let them each one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. He's calling for a fasting. And what does that do? If we fast according to the biblical fast, it clears the mind. It allows us to think more clearly. It prepares us. We can prepare our hearts if we do that. This is what he's doing. In other words, prepare now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Verse 9, who knows? He may repent and God may have pity and turn away from the glow of his anger so that we do not perish. Let me stop there just for a moment. Think about that. Think about what he's saying. God may not destroy you. He may spare your whole city if you repent. So some prophecies in the Bible, if God says, I'm going to do this, some of them are based on our choices. And that's what the case was here. Notice how let's read that again. He says, who knows? Verse 9. He may repent and God may have pity and turn away from the glow of his anger so that we do not perish. And verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God was compassionate over the evil that he had said to do to them, and he did not do it. He was going to wipe out the whole city because of their wrongdoing. But he didn't go and say, well, you know what? I love you so much. I'm just going to change you and everything's okay. But that's what people are saying today when they say, well, when Christ comes, he's going to take all of that stuff away from me. That's what they're saying. This account is showing us otherwise. This is one of the many accounts that is showing us otherwise. But God was compassionate over the evil they had said to do them, and he did not do it. How many people were saved? The whole city. It tells us how many. Look at this. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, and I should not spare Nineveh, that great city, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 men. So if there were women and children, that's over 360,000 people. Think about that. And they did not know between their right hand and their left hand. In other words, before this message was preached to them, they didn't know which way they were going. They didn't know their right hand from their left. They didn't know anything. But what happened? Jonah goes, he preaches the message. The king, he gets the message through to the king. And because of that decree, because of preaching the word, over 120,000 people were saved. The whole city. Was preaching important? Amen. Did it save lives? It did. It did. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at some texts that talk about preaching, and we'll see how important this is in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 4, and keep your Bibles open, because we've got an abundance of Scripture. We're just going to kind of go from Matthew and work our way toward the back of the Bible. And I'm just going to read several texts to you and ask you just to think about these things that have to do with preaching. And why it's so important. Remember, the question that I ask is, people ask me, why do you do this every year? Why do you have this series? And then some things you've talked about before, you talk about again. And sometimes you do the same thing in the one you did last year, this year. That's been asked of me several times, you know, because I invite people every year. And I told them, just like we talked about in Sabbath school today, sometimes lives change. My life, something could happen in my life today that would open my eyes to something that I never recognized yesterday. And that happens. So we continue to do this. Matthew chapter 4, I want you to notice verse 17. And this is right about the time Jesus begins his ministry. This is when he begins. He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, stay the same because I'm changing you when I come back. No, that's not what it says. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for Jesus to say, look, guys, I'm coming back, but have no fear. I'm going to change you. No, repent. Turn away from the things that are not pleasing to God. Change now, because the kingdom is at hand. I say it over and over and over again. Something could happen to me that I keel over. And if I haven't repented and I'm still living in that way, what's going to happen? I want to be right with the Lord at all times. He knows the heart. That's the beauty of it. He knows the heart. So I want you to turn a few pages over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And here Jesus is sending out his disciples. He's actually sending the 12 out. Notice beginning in verse 5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's telling them to preach to the house of God so that they would take this message of the Savior to others. Well, for those of you who don't know us at Prophecies of Hope, we were encouraging the church that we were a part of to do this very thing, to preach. To preach the true Christ Jesus and the true living God. But it came about with the same type of success that the disciples had doing it, pretty much. It didn't have much success within the church. I want you to notice verse 27, same chapter, chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So what's he saying? If you preach from the housetop, people are going to hear you because you're going to have to speak loud. Shout it from the roof. Right? We have to preach the gospel. We have to preach the truth. We have to continue to do it. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. So Jesus is going out. He's not just telling them to do it. He's going to do it. He took part. Turn to the book of Mark, if you would, the Gospel of Mark. It's right after Matthew. Like I said, we're going to kind of progress back. We're not going to read every gospel. And what I'm doing, friends, is I'm establishing here that there's a command. There is a mandate to preach, to take the gospel to people. Mark chapter 1. And notice here, it's talking about preaching in Galilee here. Verse 38. But he, that's Jesus, said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So he wasn't just talking about preaching right here where it's comfortable. But go somewhere else. Go to the next town and preach. Mark chapter 16. Let's keep going. Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to share with you verse 15. Verse 15. And, you know, in my Bible right here, actually, I'm going to read a little before that. My Bible has a subheading here called The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Notice in verse 14, it says, later he appeared to the 11, and they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So everyone needs to hear it. Remember Matthew 24, 14. The gospel must be preached as a witness to all the nations. So we can't just stop just because we might have had a full house one time or two times or three times. We keep preaching because somebody new might come the next time. Or somebody might come and hear something that they never heard before. I don't know about you, but when I read through the Bible, sometimes I'll see something that I never saw, and I just read it yesterday. I never saw that before, but I just read those words. Why is it? Because now my mind is in a different place than it was a day or two ago. So we keep preaching. We preach those truths. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. It's right after Mark. The book of Luke chapter 4. And notice here. Where do I want to start? I think I'm going to start Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 16. So he, that's Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. In other words, what we call Isaiah today in the Bible. He was handed this scroll. And it says, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. See if this sounds familiar to you. This is quoting from Isaiah. So in my Bible, where it says Lord, it capitalizes it because it's quoting from the Old Testament. So here's what Jesus was reading. The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me. Jesus is reading these words because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah. Isn't that what we read right at the beginning? So this is what the prophecy is talking about, Jesus Christ preaching the gospel from Isaiah 61. And that's what he read. And you may have noticed that he stood up to read. He wanted people to hear him. Like shouting from the rooftop. Also notice verse 43 here in Luke. It says, chapter 4, verse 43. It says, but he, that's Jesus, said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. You see a common theme? Jesus is talking about preaching. Not just talking at people. Teaching them, educating them, helping them to know who he is, showing them different passages from the Bible from front to back. He read from the Old Testament. Of course, that's all he had at that time was the Old Testament. So how, you know, if you think about it again, I'm going to say this again. So many of my Christian friends that I've witnessed to would say that they are New Testament Christians. Jesus never quoted from the New Testament because it didn't exist. All of the biblical reading and the quotes that he did, and even when he rebuked Satan, when he taught his disciples, when he taught his apostles, when he taught all of those people that he witnessed to, he was preaching out of the Old Testament because it all goes together. You can't throw out one. You have to have it all. So let's move on to the book of Acts. We're going to move quickly along here to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And this is after Jesus had ascended to the heavens. Acts chapter 5. Jesus had lived his life on this earth. He had been the example. He had told his apostles and his disciples what to do. He had been resurrected and glorified, and he's back in heaven at this time. So let's see what Luke has to say here in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Did they know who Jesus was? Was there any kind of identity crisis as to who the Son of God was to these men that were doing this? No, they knew. They well knew who Jesus was. I want you to notice chapter 10, verse 42. Chapter 10 of Acts, verse 42. It says, "And he commanded us," who commanded? Jesus. That's who they're talking about. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Chapter 14 of Acts. I want you to turn there. We're moving quickly, but all of these texts are very close together. Chapter 14. Now, there was a lot of idolatry in Lystra. Lots of idolatry. And people saw what Paul did. They were just blown away, and they actually began to think of Paul as a god. And this can be a very dangerous thing. I want you to notice verse 15. Well, actually, let me just start there in verse 11. It says, "Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.'" And let me tell you, the message that they were preaching was powerful. That's what that's telling you. And because they were worshiping false gods anyway, they had never heard a message like this. They were blown away. They couldn't believe. They thought, this is divine. This is better than anything we've ever heard. We've never heard something like this. And verse 12, "And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, the oxen and garland, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out and saying, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that are in them.'" He's quoting from the Old Testament. He's talking about the living God. You see, their gods were idols. They were stones. They were carvings. They were man-made. They have to pursue their gods. But this is the living God who is pursuing them. What a beautiful God we worship, who seeks after us and just asks us to come to him. These false gods can't do that. They can't do anything. They're made by men. Friends, this is the problem that we have in the world today. Men are molding God to fashion God after themselves rather than have us conform to the will of God. And when we say that God will change me to who he wants me to be at translation, we're basically making a God of ourselves. Our characters have to be changed now. They have to be changed now. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This is an account that we've talked about. I'm not going to read this, but remember, there was this group of people that were worshiping these unknown gods, and Paul came there to preach to them the truth about the living God. It's a beautiful thing. Acts chapter 20. If you take a look here, look at verse 20. It says, "I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." This is a difficult thing to do. It's not for everyone. Not everyone likes to go house to house, but it was something that the apostles did. And some people are cut out for it and some people aren't. Some of us have gifts that others don't. There are things that I don't do very well that those of you do them great. And where I have a weakness, you have a strength, and vice versa. So as a body, as a church, we work together. It's a beautiful thing. Romans chapter 10. Let's turn to Romans now. You see the theme. The theme here is preaching. And not just to one another. Not just to family and friends. Not just those that we're comfortable talking to. Romans chapter 10. And Israel here actually rejects the truth of who God is and who his son is. And in verse 15 it says, "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." He's quoting from Isaiah 52. And I don't know if you noticed it or not. Ed picked up on it this morning in the bulletin. I have preached the word, and you have these boots there with a Bible in between them. You see? Taking the gospel to others. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring that news, who bring the good news. And what's the good news? Eternal life. You can have it. It's yours. It's free. It's a gift. It's a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's turn there for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And friends, there are many. I'm just sharing a few highlights with you about preaching. There are many, many texts that we could look at. But these are the ones that I felt were very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to begin in verse 14. It says, "Even so," 1 Corinthians 9:14, "even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." What's that mean? Live up to what you preach. Practice what you preach. Live it. Don't just say it. Do it. But in verse 15, "I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that I should be done, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." The news is so good, you can't keep it to yourself. It's impossible. It's impossible. Verse 17, "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." Verse 18, "What is my regard then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." So Paul wants to stay in check. He wants to live according to the things that he's preaching. Now let's go to Colossians. And you know, this is a text that we're all very familiar with, but I don't know that we've read around this particular verse that we focus on a lot. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 24. Colossians 1, and you'll know the verse I'm talking about when we get there. It says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings." This is Paul writing, the same one that we just read from a moment ago. "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you," Colossians 1:24, "and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affections of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church," that's us, "of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." That's you and I. "To them God willed to make known," you can say to you, to me, you can apply this to yourself. When you read this, put yourself there. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Isn't that beautiful? When you read that whole text, he's trying to make us like himself by us just accepting him. He wants us to be before his Father, like he is before his Father. When God looks at his son, and when he looks at us, he should see his son. So if we have the character of Christ, who's he going to see when he looks at us? Christ. Be transformed now, friends. Don't wait. Stop putting it off if we are. Let's be transformed today. I want to look at a text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just a few more texts. And I really believe these are so important. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And unfortunately, sometimes there's a verse in here that's very often misapplied. But when we know what the Bible really teaches and we have studied, there's no misapplication of it. I'm going to begin in verse 1. And this was part of the scripture reading today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith." Wait a minute. 2 Timothy. I did the same thing, Ed. I did the same thing, Ed. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I said first, didn't I? That's what I've got in my notes, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So when he comes, it's important that we be right. Verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." That's what we're being told. Do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist do? An evangelist preaches to people. He gets up in front. He talks. And you don't have to be up in front to be an evangelist. You can be an evangelist in your house, on the phone, talking to your neighbor, in the checkout counter, at the grocery store, at work, wherever you go. You can evangelize. It's a huge part of what we do as Christians. It's a part of our life. There was another preacher that's talked about. Let's go back a little bit further in the Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. You know, it's interesting that we tend to text each other sometimes in a little group text. And last night, about the time I'm studying this, a question came up about Noah and how many years he preached. And we just kind of had a little exchange there. And it's funny how that happened about the time that I'm reading these texts. So 2 Peter, I think we take things like that for granted sometimes, but I think they're really miraculous that we're thinking along the same lines a lot of times. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell." That actual word is Tartarus, which is a place of outer darkness. It's mistranslated in the King James, "and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." I only read that because it sets up the next verse. Verse 5, "and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And a lot of people will say, well, Noah preached for 120 years. I think I've said that. He preached for 120 years. But if you think about it, his sons were born when he was about 500 years old. He lived to be 950 years old. So I believe that he preached during that whole time. He walked with God. He was a preacher of righteousness. So did the preaching stop after the flood? Did the world actually, it ended as they knew it? But don't you think that there were people that had to learn and be taught who God is, what the plan of salvation is, what the sacrificial system stood for, what it was all pointing to, that this is a type of what's going to happen at the end of time? You see, all of these things were foundational to where we are now. And one last text, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. I'm going to begin in verse 6. Revelation 14, 6, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Does this go along with what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14? It does. "Saying with a loud voice," it doesn't say to whisper it. We're supposed to do it from the rooftop, right? "Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed in verse 9, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." And then verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." We need to die to self. We need to be ready now. We need to get ready now. Don't wait until these cries take place. It's too late. And friends, this message of preaching, this message of warning is taught, as we just saw, from Genesis in the days of Noah all the way to Revelation. Over and over and over again, God sends people into the communities to save people. He's using us. He's using other ministries around the world to do the same thing. What a blessing. What a privilege to be identified with those who are doing that in the Bible, that we're proclaiming the gospel, that we're having the evangelism series, that these things take place year after year, that the witness that we give to our family and friends and those that we meet is planting a seed. And all we can do is plant it. Who makes it grow? God. So, we should all be preachers of righteousness. It's written in here about Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine when you're in the heavenly kingdom and God can look at you and say, "You are my servant. You were a preacher of righteousness."
So friends, I really appreciate you listening to that sermon. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned a few things about the Prophecies of Hope ministry. You probably heard a few things you didn't know about us. And there's a whole lot more to this ministry than what a lot of people know. But it's just a ministry that God has given us, and we want to preach the word. That's what we want to do, and we hope that you want to do that as well. Also, I want to remind you, if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. Rick, you can contact him at rick@prophecyhope.com. Our website is prophecyhope.com. And you can catch us right here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And I hope that you'll join us again next week. And within the coming weeks, we will have our brother Rick Tyler back with us, and I really look forward to getting him back in the studio. Also, I just want to tell you that as time goes on, we'll be filling you in more and more on the Bible prophecy series that will be coming up soon. But also, let's go ahead before we sign off, and let's just have a closing word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gifts that you've given us. Father, we ask that you give us the boldness to preach the word, that you give us the ability to be able to speak to others about the gospel, about the good news, about Jesus Christ's return. May we share God's word, share your word, Father, with everyone at every opportunity. And please be with each one who's listening to this program. Keep us safe until we come together again. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So friends, we look forward to seeing you next time, and until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.